Today we're going to deal with dreams. How many of you ever had dreams? I'm not talking about when you go to bed at night and you've eaten some pinto beans. I'm talking about God dreams. Today we're going to talk about dreams, scary dreams. Beyond your imagination dreams. When I graduated in our graduation service, you can bring this down just a touch, Austin. In our graduation service, we sang "To Dream the Impossible Dream." Now, I didn't understand what I was singing at that time. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe. I didn't understand it. I do today. Because God makes those dreams that seem impossible, possible. It costs nothing. Say that back to me. It costs nothing. To dream big. Okay, get that in your mind. It costs nothing to dream big, but it will cost purpose, it will cost time, and it will cost opportunity when you don't act on what God has placed in your heart. Did you get that? It'll cost you purpose, it'll cost you time, it'll cost you opportunity when you don't act upon that which God has placed in your heart. That's why it's important. And hear this in the beginning. As we go through this, if your dreams don't scare you a little, if your dreams don't frighten you just a little, they're probably too small. If you're not trying to reach for something that feels unreachable, unsearchable, then it's probably too small. Because God works in big. God works in the unimaginable. What we call unattainable. God does that. So, let's look at dreams for a moment. I say the dreams we have are God-given seeds. God-given seeds. And what are seeds? What are the purpose of a seed? And to do what? Produce what? Fruit. God-given seeds. I ought to have James Payne here today. He could tear that up. Dreams are God-given seeds. So our personal dreams are seeds God plants in the soil of our spirit. So today, God is planting something in your spirit. It may seem small at first, insignificant at first, but it has a purpose. Designed to grow into something far bigger than you ever imagined. That's what the dream God has placed in your heart will do. And then I say dreams, when we talk about dreams, they're also the internal compass points. How many people knows a compass points in a direction? East, west, north, south. It gives you a path to walk on. Am I right? So our dreams are internal compass, is an internal compass that God uses to point us into our purpose. It points us into our purpose. That's what dreams do. It's a seed. It's a compass. They pull us, literally. They pull us into the direction of who we were created to become. Think of it that way. Your dream is pulling you into the purpose that God has placed in your life and for your life. Say, God uses dreams. And dreams are heaven's whisper. Dreams are heaven's whisper. What do you mean? Dreams are heaven's whispers. They're quiet. They're not real loud. They're quiet but persistent reminders that there is more inside us than what we are currently living. There's more inside you than what you're currently living. If you're not happy where you are, you're not dreaming big enough. And then, oftentimes, we don't believe in the one who can bring the dreams to pass. We think that dreams are for others and not for us. But the dream God gives you, Christian, is not for Valerie, is not for Randy. The dream God gives you is your personal dream and your personal whisper. He whispers into your spirit and he wants you to bring it to pass. You're the mechanism. You are the mechanics behind it. Are you getting that? You're the mechanics. God gives the dream for a reason. So how many of you have dreams here in here today? Raise your hand. Well, we need to act upon those dreams. So there's more inside us than we're currently living. If this is true, and this being true, if your dreams don't stretch faith, if that which you're dreaming does not stretch faith or ignite a holy reverence, some say a holy fear, they may be too small. God's vision, the way he sees things for you, exceeds your imagination. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We cannot even imagine it. So it has to go beyond. God's vision goes beyond our imagination. So if we're settling, I say today, if you're settling for something, please don't settle for comfort. Please don't settle for comfort. In other words, you sidestep your dream because you just want to be comfortable. You don't want to go against the rub. You don't want to go against the grain. Don't settle for comfort when the impossible is where the glory shines brightest. The glory shines brightest when things seem impossible. So I say, dream bigger. Say it back to me. Dream bigger, because he's already there. God's already there in that big dream. You see, God doesn't call us to live a safe life. Oh, y'all want a safe life. He calls us to live the faith life. He calls us into the kind of life that steps, watch this, the kind of life that steps beyond logic. It's not logical. It makes no sense. But he calls us into that life that goes beyond logic, beyond comfort, and beyond what we can control. We want to control things, and God says that's not your job. Your job is to do what I've asked you to do, and let me bring the control on. Into what only God can do. Only God can do it, Pat. Only God can do these things. Only God has been able to help. I can make it personal. Help me through some of the things I've experienced in the last couple of years. I don't share those things. Like you don't share a lot of things going on with you. But the truth of the matter is, if it had not been for God who was on our side, we would have failed. Even our church, this is not failure. This is divine direction. You don't see it. I see it. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe you do. Someone said, how in the world can you do what you've done? Because I didn't do it. I didn't do it. God did it. And if God did it, it's done. If God did it, say it. If God did it, it's done. So he goes beyond logic and comfort and how we want to control things. Here's the truth. Comfort is the enemy of the calling. When you have a calling, comfort is the enemy of the calling. And many people, many seated here and people I've spoken to over the years, thousands I've ministered to, multiplied thousands of people, many people have settled. Not because God stopped dreaming. Let me say that again. Not because God stopped dreaming, it's because we did. God didn't stop dreaming, we stopped dreaming. Let me take you to some scriptures. Ephesians 3:20 in the New International Version. And this is a key verse. This is something I quote every day. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Notice that word immeasurably. It's different than the King James. We'll touch that in a moment. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, you think you've seen what God can do. You think you've seen what God can do, but he's saying you haven't seen anything yet. That's what he was telling the church. You haven't seen a thing yet. Not what God is capable of and what he will do for those that love him. God doesn't think in the manageable. Well, that's manageable. God doesn't think in the manageable. He thinks in the miraculous. Big difference. And I said this. God doesn't think in the mundane, but in the more than. He doesn't think in the mundane, but the more than. More than enough. I like what James Payne says. He said, in my life, I asked God, what's more than enough, God? Maybe when you hear him speak, he'll say this. He said, God spoke back to him. He said, here's what's more than enough. $1 more than you're willing to sow. That's powerful. Only God can say something like that. Only $1 more than you're willing to sow. That's more than enough. My God. My God. It's all about, in this, we're talking about dreams and how we navigate through it. It's all about who's in control. Who controls you? You need to think about that. You say, well, my wife controls me. Well, you got the wrong control. My husband, well, you got the wrong control. You might respect him. I respect my wife. She does not control me. So, well, I'll show you a thing or two. No, you won't show me nothing. Because if there's no respect, there's no love. There's no cohesiveness. There's no glue. There's nothing that holds you together. If it's control, control will fade away, and you will become defiant against that. Am I right, James? My brain's going wild here. Jason. The only thing that holds us together is the respect we have for one another. Not control. But who's in control? There was a young boy that boarded a plane one time. And as he got on the plane, it was his first time. Turbulence hit the plane. Has anybody been on a plane and turbulence hit you? I mean to tell you, I've heard people scream and holler Jesus, and I don't even know if they know Jesus. You heard him? Jesus! I turn around and look. You know him? No, but it's a good thing to holler. So everybody got in it's his first time, and turbulence hit, and the bumps were there, and he's coloring in his little coloring book, and everybody else is going crazy, but he's coloring in his coloring book. Someone asked him, aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid, little boy? He just smiled and said, no, my dad's the pilot. Now think about that one for a minute. No, I'm not afraid. My dad's a pilot. So you see, when you know who's in control, you don't have to be afraid of the bumps or the turbulence. And when you know God's the pilot, when God's got the wheel, you can dream scary big dreams because he is the one steering your destiny. That's God. Bishop, do you really believe what you're preaching? I ask every preacher that stands behind the pulpit that preaches to you, when they come off the stage, I always ask them, do you really believe what you just preached? I've had some funny looks at me when I said that to them, because I'm afraid sometimes we say things we don't even believe. So who's steering your destiny? I'll ask this question. about dreams. Because y'all are, I believe y'all are dreamers. We created a dream to awaken the world back in the 1984. And that's still true. I'm still dreaming. I'm not stopping. You say, well, you're too old to dream. Well, the Bible says old men will have dreams. Think about that one. Young men will have visions. Randy, you ought to have a lot of dreams. That's the truth. So here's a question. What, and I've asked this question before. What would you attempt if you knew God had your back? What would you attempt if you knew God had your back? Let me ask you this way. What would you attempt if you knew you couldn't fail? That's powerful. Would you start a new business? Would you buy a car, buy a house? Would you try to write a book? These are things people can do. You say, I don't, nobody wants to hear me write a book. Well, listen, some of you, you could write a book. It may be R-rated, but you could write a book. Maybe you'd go back to school. Maybe you should get out of school. Rihanna. She's like my sister. It's like they're professional students. Maybe it's going back to school, or maybe it's forgiving that person. Oh, Bishop, you've gone too far now. We can talk about forgiveness, but understand, forgiveness doesn't do anything for the person you're forgiving. It does everything for you. Maybe it's about healing that relationship. If you didn't think God would fail, and you could not fail, would you do these things? Or what would you do today if you didn't think you would fail? Think about that one. You see, the dream that you have, the dream isn't scary because it's wrong. You say, well, I've been dreaming, it's wrong. I'm scared because it's wrong. No, it's not wrong. It's scary because it's God-sized. He went to Burger King and got it God-sized. How many people want a God-sized dream? I do. What have we done then? What are we doing as a church, as people that are believers? What have we done? We've settled for the safe zone. I want to be safe. I want to be safe. But there's no safety without understanding who's on the wheel, who's got the wheel, who's guiding you. This is important. Some of us have built homes and taken up residence in the valley of good enough. We've taken up residence. This is good enough. It's just good enough. God didn't call you to the good enough. He called you to the more than. Well, that's good enough. I got $500 in the bank. That's good enough. Really? Dream bigger. Dream bigger. Don't build a home in the valley of this. This is enough. We've settled for comfort zones God never called us to. We've done that. God didn't do that. We've said things like this. And hear me, your words are important. Your words create life or death. We say things like, I'll just stay where it's safe. Praise God. We say things like, I'll wait until I have a little more money. And I'm going to tell you, if you're waiting to get a little more money, you probably won't get it. You got to know that you know that you know that you're going to advance and go forward. I'll move it, Bishop. I'm ready to move. You just don't understand me. I'm ready to move at God's call. I'm ready to move when the timing feels right. How many people know the timing will never feel right? Because what you've just said is you really don't believe you're in a position to move there. Am I right? He said, well, I don't believe you, Bishop. Good. You're not a dreamer. You see, God sometimes disrupts Kathy. And he did with me and several of us others the last couple of years. God sometimes disrupts the comfortable. You're comfortable, he disrupts it so he can develop the courageous. You're not courageous as long as you're comfortable. Abraham, how many people know the father of faith? Abraham left his homeland without a map. Without a map, he left his homeland. Moses stepped up to Pharaoh without a plan. He had no plan but God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, y'all remember her? Little virgin, young lady. Mary said yes to God without understanding how. Because destiny never starts in certainty. Let me say that again. Destiny never starts in certainty. It starts in faith. That's where destiny starts. You got to see the unseen, the unimaginable. Sometimes you feel the unattainable. Doctor says you can't get well. Well, that's what the doctor says. But Carlos, I'm of the opinion that God created the doctor. And God gave him the wisdom and knowledge that he has. But never forget this, a medical practice is just what it says. It's a practice. They're practicing on you. Never forget that. You go to the source. God, if a doctor's going to help me, I want your hand to be on that doctor. I want you to speak into their heart, whether it be male or female. Whatever they are, whoever they are, I want your hand on them so that their hand on me will be your hand extended. That makes sense? There was this old man. Pastor was visiting this elderly man. It was sickly. And he walked into his room, his bedroom, and he looked over, and there was a chair sitting there right close to him that obvious it had purpose. And he asked the man in the bed, he said, what about this chair? What's this chair for? The man said, I set the chair there for Jesus. Why? He said, why is it? I talk to him every day. And a few days later, that man passed away. But let me tell you how he passed away. He passed away peacefully with his hand resting on the chair. Here's the point. He lived with expectancy. And he died with revelation. He believed Jesus was present in that chair. So, well, that's stupid. No. He believed it, that Jesus was with him. Even when it seemed impossible, Jesus was by his side. So when you dream big dreams, it's not about what you see. It's about who sits beside you. Who's sitting beside you? And I'm not talking about Cindy sitting by you, Damon. She can't help you. She wouldn't want to anyway. It's who is sitting beside you. When I get up in the morning, he's sitting with me, he's walking with me, he's talking to me. Why? Because I want him to. I pray every day, God, I want the fullness of God. I don't want a partial piece of God. I want the fullness of God. Now, let me tell you what gets in the way of getting the fullness of God. It sits between your two ears. It messes you up. You start thinking too much. Well, what about this? What about that? What about the other thing? I haven't seen this. I haven't seen that. That's the problem. I'm going to show you. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do, God, I may not understand it, but you do, and I'm going to stay steady in this boat. I'm not going to be rocked. I'm not going to be defeated, because God, you can't be defeated. And what may look like a defeat may be his purpose. Come on. It may be his purpose to get you to move into a certain direction, a direction you would not have gone unless that had happened. I'm on it now. My little sister right here, Debbie. Debbie Cassidy went and rode her motorcycle down Savannah, was it? Rode her bike to Savannah. She's well, happy, no problems at all. But on the way back from Savannah, I guess you were by yourself. I can't believe she did that. I've done that before, long trips by yourself. It kind of gets a little funky when those truck drivers are looking at you and moving you off the road. But as she's coming back, a deer ran out in front of her, and she hit the deer on her motorcycle. Number one, it didn't kill her. It broke her up a little bit, but not severely. But because that happened to her, they put her in the hospital and ran an MRI on her. Is that what you call it? They ran an MRI on her. Now, she's hitting her. If I'm lying, I'm dying. She's right. She run an MRI on her, and they found a spot on her kidney. That kidney, that spot happened to be some form of cancer. They went in because they caught it. They went in and took it off the kidney. Am I right? Took out the kidney, which saved her life. So what looked devastating, what you cannot understand, God used it to save her life. And I'm going to tell you why. That lady right there is in covenant. I can tell you that now. I can point to people I know is in covenant. Why? Because it's more than mouth. They put their money where their mouth is. Say, does that matter? Not, maybe not to me, but it does to God. So that old man lived with expectancy, and he died with a revelation that he who he thought was there and believed was there was there. He was there all the time. So you may not see it, but there's someone sitting beside you. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. Look at what Paul says. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So what is unseen is internal, not that which is seen. You can look at me, I'm not eternal. I have an eternal soul, but you can't see that. Your car is not eternal, I promise you. That's why the industry is making more and more money. Your house is not eternal. 100 years from now, your house won't be there. Oh, yes, it will. No, they don't build them like that anymore. So I don't fix my eyes on those things in order to dream big. I don't fix my eyes on things that I can see. I fix my eyes on those things that cannot be seen, where God lives, where God dwells. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago about Peter, Matthew 14:28. Lord, he said, Lord, if it's you walking out on the water in this stormy condition, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And what did Jesus say? That one word, come. Come. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. Peter never walked on water until he stepped out of the boat, right? Now here's the key that I've really never preached before. He didn't step out of the boat when the storm had calmed. He didn't wait till the storm was over. He walked in it. So if you wait for the storm to subside, you may never get out of the boat. You may never walk in faith. You may never get anything accomplished. See, I think there's greatness in this room. You say, well, I don't feel great. You are. You are built and made and created in the likeness and the image of God Almighty. So I didn't look that way in the mirror this morning. Well, you should have looked yourself in the mirror and said, I am created in the image and the likeness of God, and I shall survive and go forward and be more than a survivor. I will be victorious. Now, predicated on what I just said about Peter, faith doesn't wait until perfect conditions. It's got to be perfect. Faith doesn't wait for perfect conditions. It moves in obedience. So if God has asked you to do something and you have not done it, oh my, get it straight, get it right. Here's the truth about the men in the boat and Peter. The boat represented safety. The boat represented safety. But destiny is never found in safety. It's found in the stretch. Never in safety, it's found in the stretch. But Bishop, what about the risk of doing something different? The risk of starting something new? The risk. No risk. Let's finish it. You know what I'm going to say. No risk, no reward. Just think about anyone who's started something from scratch. Just think about them for a moment. No risk, no reward. How about a business? How about some kind of a great movement? What about a family? What about even the church? They didn't start out because they had it all figured out. When I went and found the property on Hurt Road, which it was prophesied that would not be my final place, by the way, I want y'all to know that. That was prophesied as I'm doing it. My grandfather, which was a prophet, he said to me in his broken English, he said, son, this is not your final place. Well, he was right. He's dead and gone, but his word was true. That means if it's not my final place, that means this is not my final place. That means God's got something planned. You say, please tell me what it is. I will when I get it. When I get it, you'll be the first to know. They didn't start out, nobody that I know started out having it all figured out. They started out because they believed. And I can tell you the story about how this church on Hurt Road started when we started building. There was very few people that believed. Got a few sitting here that stayed with me, Mike and Kathy, Randy and Floyd, and who else was with me when I started in 84? I mean, to tell you, very few people believed. As you can see, I can show you pictures of that opening day. It was packed out. It was stretching, brother, and it was full to overflowing. Where are they now? They didn't believe in the mission. Is it my fault? Can't be your fault because many of you weren't even there. But it will be our fault if we don't go forward. They started out because they believed. And something I uncovered this morning. When Walt Disney wanted to build Disneyland, you know, the rat, the mouse. Yeah, he had a dream. And matter of fact, when he came to them and said, I'm going to build Disneyland, to all his prospective investors, they laughed at him. They mocked him. You're crazy. That was their words. So I looked up this morning just to make sure he wasn't crazy. And in 2024, their revenue was over $32 billion. That was in 2024. Now, you know how long it take you to count to a billion? I'd like to try. $32 billion. Now, that's not counting what all those properties are worth. That'd be in the hundreds of billions of dollars. Are y'all with me? From a dream where they said, you're crazy, but he was crazy right. I love those stories. When Noah started to build the ark, oh man, you're crazy. You're building a boat and we don't even see water. We've never seen water like this before. But that didn't stop Noah. He built the ark that saved his family and started to produce another righteous seed on the planet Earth. Noah did that. When David faced Goliath, I don't know if y'all have watched that television program, The House of David. If you haven't, you need to find it. It's a phenomenal little show. I love it. But when David faced Goliath, they said, "You're outmatched. You're outmatched, David. You can't do it." But God, but faith says, if God called me to it, he'll see me through it. Everybody take a deep breath. Don't go to sleep on me yet. I know you're tired, Randy, but don't go to sleep. So what do we do with all this? We need to start writing some things down. How many people knows if you don't write it down, you forget it? You say, "I'll never forget that." Me and my wife talk about it. We talked about that. "I won't forget that, honey. You just tell me what we're going to get at the store. I got it locked in my brain." And you get in the grocery store and says, "Well, what was that? I can't remember. What did I ask?" "I don't remember." You got to write it down. That's right. It's what she always reminds me of my failures. Should have written it down. That's all it was. I was testing her ability to remember. But see, I've got a few things in my head that I know she always buys, so I just say, "Yeah, it was bread." But we need to write some things down. What? You need to write down your dream. And make sure it's God-sized. Write it down where you can read it, where you can look at it. And then don't analyze it. "Well, I'm going to analyze it." That's your problem. You're analyzing something that cannot be analyzed. How do you analyze it when God's involved, Deb? How do you analyze that? Then take steps toward it. It may be a phone call. Maybe you need to make that phone call. I can't tell you what that is, but it may be a phone call you need to make. Maybe it's some sort of a prayer you need to pray. Maybe it's a conversation you need to have. Maybe it might just be, this is a word we hate, sacrifice. It might just be a sacrifice. And whatever you write down, whatever it is, do it by faith. Do it by faith. Do it by faith. Faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because movement activates miracles. Movement activates miracles. Well, we're doing good today. God's dreams are not about your ability. Let me see where I'm at. I want to preach another 3 hours. God's dreams aren't about your ability. Well, I don't feel like I have the ability. But God's dreams are never predicated upon your ability. They're about his availability working through you. It's his availability working through you. It's not what you've got. It's what he's got. He'll work right through you. Jason, have you ever seen that work in your life? You ever been in a courtroom and wondered, "What in the world am I going to do now?" And then all of a sudden you get the answer. That's my point. Whenever I stand before you to minister, do you think I get up here all... Listen, I get up here knowing that God's going to show up. If he doesn't, I'm in trouble. Because number one, when I speak, if I'm not under the anointing, you're going to know it. And that's the thing that always turns me on. Whenever I get up before people, wherever I'm at, I want them to feel God, not just hear me. Are you excited today? I am. Because something is changing in the atmosphere. So God's dreams aren't about your ability. It's about his availability working through you. When we say yes to God, he supplies the rest. What do you mean? Well, let's look at it. Moses said at the burning bush, he said, "God, I can't do it. I can't speak. I'm a stuttering. I can't speak." But God said, "I'll give you the words." Gideon said, I don't have time to preach these people, but Gideon was hiding out when their land was being overtaken by their enemies. Gideon's hiding out in the threshing floor. And God shows up. Gideon said, I'm the weakest. Nobody was going to follow me. I'm the weakest. But God said, you're a mighty warrior. Why? Because God was going to make him that. Mary said, the mother of Jesus, I don't understand how this can be. And God said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Are you hearing that now? See, God has an answer. He always has and always will. So if I'm looking at a pattern, how many people know you watch patterns? If you look at the pattern, God never asks you to be able, only available. Just available. So what would I say as I start to wind down here? Don't downsize your dreams. Upsize your faith. Upsize your faith. Those things that seem impossible, start realizing that it is possible, Jeff. It's possible. Just because you think God has failed you doesn't mean God has failed you. Like Terry wrote me the other day, and he was about his friend that passed away in Louisiana, wasn't it? And he's really grieving over that. And I understand it because I had some close friends of mine that passed. But when he was telling me he was even sick and he needed prayer, my prayer was not, God, just heal him. I said, God, let him have an encounter with you that his soul might be saved. And Terry wrote me and said, he didn't even know I was praying that prayer. He said he came to the Lord before he passed away. Is that right, Terry? That's right. God uses people. God uses people. You may touch somebody's heart and life at a grocery store, not even know it. Just a smile. Just opening a door for somebody. Helping somebody pick something up, if you're able. I mean, you never know how you're going to impact somebody else's life. I've had people in my life that impacted me, and they didn't even know what they were doing. Just in passing. It's saying things in passing, and it impacted my life. My God. My God. I thank God that his friend's in heaven right now. So I don't believe that he's in heaven right now. Well, you're wrong. The Bible says, when I call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. My Lord. So don't downsize your dream, upsize your faith. If your dream you're having doesn't scare you, it's not big enough to meet God. Need God. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's not big enough for you, for you don't need God. If it doesn't scare you a little bit, you don't need God. You say, well, I can do this one. This is a dream I can do. Well, then it's not a good dream. It needs to be a dream you can't do. And if your dream doesn't need God, it's not a kingdom dream. A kingdom dream is always big. You see, Jesus was the ultimate kingdom dreamer. He saw things in people that nobody else saw. He looked at all those rough men he called out to be his disciples, and he used them to change the world. He took Saul on the road to Damascus, changed him, turned him around. He was persecuting the church and killing people. He stood there when Timothy was stoned to death and held the cloak. He was persecuting the church, killing Christians. Paul, Saul then. Then he took on the other name, Paul, and he wrote most of the New Testament. You say, I don't understand God, and you never will. God uses the most unlikely to change the world. He takes those things that are not to bring to naught those things are. I'm quoting scripture to you. Ephesians 3:20 reminded us, and I'll read this in the King James this time. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Immeasurably. There's a power that works within you. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on your dream. Because the enemy will come to you and say, God has failed you. He will. I hear him whispering to me a lot. Oh, you don't know. These people aren't going to do this, and that person's not going to do this, and you're not going to make it. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be annihilated. Yeah, I mean, I've heard all those things. You're getting old. You're getting weak. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I didn't say those things to me. Why would I say those things to me? That's the voice of the enemy trying to get me knocked off track. To throw up my hands and say, I'm through. And once you throw up your hands and say you're through, you're finished. It's when you say, wait a minute. I might be through, Satan, but God isn't. And he's not through with me yet. Amen? So, in reference to this verse, according to the power that works in us, stop shrinking your dreams. Stop shrinking your dreams to fit your resources. Well, I've got $500, and I'm going to shrink my dream to match that $500. And then you're going to have a $500 dream. It's not a big dream. You don't dream to match your resources. You expand your faith to match God's power. And that's a great expansion, sissy. A great expansion. I'll say this. The dream you have in your heart is not a fantasy. The dream you have in your heart is not a fantasy. Lock that in. It's just a preview of what God wants to do through your life. Just a preview. So how do I know God's there? Here's a story you've heard before, but I'm going to make you listen again. There's a boy. He's out in a cloudy day, and he's flying a kite. And the kite soared so high, it disappeared in the clouds. Disappeared from sight. A man walked up, said to the boy, how do you know it's still there? How do you know that kite is even still there? And he said, well, you see, I can feel the tug. I can feel the tug. What are you saying, Bishop? Keep believing your dream is still flying. Feel the tug. Feel the tug. Feel the tug. So what is God looking for? Because he is looking for something. He's actually looking for the fruit of the earth, the fruit. God is still looking for people like you that will dream scary dreams, not foolish dreams. Notice I didn't say foolish dreams, scary dreams that he's placed in your heart and life. Foolish dreams, I'm going to go out and buy a $10 million house. Well, that's kind of stupid, isn't it? Number one, that's not going to benefit the kingdom of God. It's benefiting me. Unless I'm using that somehow to advance the kingdom. See, it's all predicated on how you advance the kingdom. I don't have time to talk about that, but that's the criteria, is does it advance the kingdom? Now, if it advances the kingdom, there's no limits. God is looking for people who dream scary big, not because they're strong, but because they trust the one who is. So today we need to step out in faith. Not tomorrow. Today. Well, I'll wait till tomorrow. No, do it today. Step out in faith today. And here is a key. Stop, for God's sake, stop measuring your future by your past. Don't measure your future by your past. And start believing that God, who began the dream, who started the dream, is faithful to complete it. So I say again, don't downsize your dream, upsize your faith. Because God, say because God. Scary big. Scary big It's just the beginning. Scary big. It's just the beginning. The road ahead.